Our Heavenly Father, as we look at the Psalms this morning, please would you help us to turn our hearts to you so that we can extol you, delight in you with all of our heart and all of our soul. So please, Father, put before us a great vision of yourself this morning, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. As he walks up to the temple, his heart is bursting with praise and delight in the Lord. He can't wait to be surrounded by God's faithful people and sing his heart out to the Lord. Well, I wonder how your heart was this morning as you sat down in front of your laptop or as you walked to church today. Full of delight in the Lord? Can't wait to praise him with your whole heart and your church family? Perhaps. Or perhaps your heart is fearful. Fearful for your children or your marriage. Perhaps it's fearing bad news about your health or your finances. Maybe for you it's a relationship that's gone sour. Perhaps your heart sinks when a text message arrives in case it's from the school bully or your ever-demanding boss. Oh, there's 1,001 things that can occupy our hearts, aren't there? And we won't ignore them this morning. We'll come back to them when we get to Psalm 112. They're important to us. We won't forget them. But when we do come back to them, will we be willing to see them in a different light, in a new light? Will we be willing to reassess our responses to them in the light of new information? New information about the Lord and our relationship with him. Can you imagine being able to extol the Lord with your whole heart, even in the midst of your troubles? Well, as he walks to the temple, our worshipper looks around and marvels at God's creative power and skill. How does the sun manage to warm his face? How did that huge olive tree over there grow from such a tiny pip? Yeah, humans have always looked and wondered, pondered the great works of the Lord. The Cavendish Laboratory in Cambridge has produced 30 Nobel Prize winners. Carved in the huge wooden doors at the entrance to that lab are the words Magna Opera Domini Exquisitor in Omnes Voluntates Eius. And of course you understand what that means, don't you? Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Scientists ponder and delight in God's great works. Of course, some of them imagine that they're pondering randomness and accidents. But others, of course, see how illogical it is to think that way, and they extol the Lord who did this. But let's return to Jerusalem. Here, our worshipper's heart turns to even greater works of the Lord. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Approaching the temple, he remembers that this is where the God of heaven draws near to his people. God is not merely a great architect or builder of a glorious and majestic world who then stands back. No, he is personal. He is righteous, gracious, compassionate. And here in the temple, humans can come close to him. The Lord, glorious and majestic, forever righteous, gracious and compassionate. And our worshipper understands that if God were only glorious, majestic and righteous, then he'd be in trouble. He'd be rightly judged because, let's face it, he doesn't always extol the Lord with his whole heart. He's often preoccupied with himself just as we are. But the Lord is also at the same time gracious and compassionate. So he gave the temple with all its sacrifices and cleansing rituals. Here was grace and compassion for a weak and sinful people. Sacrifices set aside guilt and sin. So now our psalmist can walk right into the temple courts and draw near to the glorious, majestic and righteous Lord God. And experiencing this afresh, our worshipper's heart fills with joy and praise. But now as we read of God's gracious compassion and his righteousness displayed in his temple, we can't help but think of Jesus Christ, can we? Jesus, who made his home, his dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, the temple of God that was destroyed and raised again in 3 days. In Jesus, we draw near to God. And seeing this afresh, our hearts fill with joy and praise. Then, perhaps at the top of a hill, maybe our worshipper turns round to look across Israel, across the land that the Lord has given his people. And he remembers. The Lord has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. The works of his hand are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. And our worshipper smiles as he imagines the wonders of the Lord, the parting of the Red Sea, allowing Moses and the people across and out of Egypt, out of slavery. And perhaps he laughs to himself as he pictures the manna falling from heaven to feed the people in the wilderness. And he wonders at the way the Lord spoke to Moses and gave his commandments, his trustworthy precepts that are established forever. Yes, the Lord does what he has promised. He keeps his covenant. He is faithful from beginning to end. And so here in our worshipper, we see a wise man. A man who knows that to throw himself completely, entirely, wholeheartedly into the care, the grace, the compassion and the righteousness of the Lord God is the safest and the most exciting place to live. And if that's true for him, how much more is it true for us who know Jesus? Jesus who said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. I shall lose none of all the Father has given me, but raise them up on the last day." And so we join the psalmist in singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name." So we move from Psalm 111 to Psalm 112. And we find that there are many, many links between the two psalms. For example, in Hebrew, both of them are acrostics. That is, each line begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet in each psalm. Psalm 111 ended with a comment about those who fear the Lord and follow his precepts. Psalm 112 starts with exactly the same theme, that those who fear the Lord delight in his word, in his commands. Psalm 111 reveals the might, the glory, the majesty, the grace, the compassion and the righteousness of the Lord. And in Psalm 112, we hear echoes of this in the lives of a believer. So we hear about grace and compassion and righteousness as characteristic of the believer. Now, this morning, as you logged on to the website or Zoom, as you walked to church perhaps, you were distracted, I'm sure, by some of the stuff in your life. And if you weren't this week, then it's happened before, hasn't it? Your heart was elsewhere. Perhaps you even thought of not logging in or turning up or listening at all. Now, I wonder, if that was the case, were you able to allow that first psalm to lift your eyes a little bit, to see something of the greatness of the Lord and his work for you, around you? Well, maybe, or maybe you need a little more time, a little more pondering. And so here in this psalm, the 112, we hear about delighting in the commands of the Lord. And I wonder how you feel about obeying the Lord. Obeying in the midst of this pandemic, when holidays have been perhaps cancelled, relationships at home or work put under immense stress, laughter and friendship, just going out for a meal with some friends seems like a distant memory. So how do you feel about obeying the Lord in these circumstances? Is it a duty or a burden? Is it liberating or perhaps restrictive? Is it irritating or soothing? Will obedience stop you living out your true self? Or do you feel guilty for your disobedience? Well, our psalm begins, "Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord and find great delight in his commands." Do you see? The Lord lavishes good things generously on those who fear him and delight in his commands, delight in obeying him. We've already seen how the scientist delights in pondering the world around him. But those who fear the Lord, who respect and acknowledge the Lord's majestic glory, delight in pondering the Lord's commands. And the Lord blesses them, as we see in verses 2 to 5. Now here, for our author, blessing meant good things in this life. Successful children, wealth and riches adorning their houses, their good deeds remembered forever. But Jesus shows us that the blessings of faithful obedience are so much deeper than success, wealth, and a memorial plaque. For us, it's adoption as children of the Father, the indwelling of the Spirit himself, union with Christ. What picture could we use? What illustration? Well, perhaps the illustration is children sitting on Jesus' knee and being blessed, welcomed, and praised by the Son of God himself. This is about acceptance into the family of God, in the family where the family likeness buds, blossoms, and bears much fruit. So we read, "Their righteousness endures forever. They are gracious and compassionate." People who delight in the word of the Lord begin to demonstrate his beauty and character. And what greater joy could there be in life than becoming like the Lord, sharing his character? Well, does this mean a trouble-free life? Well, no, I'm afraid not. The Psalms are full of every kind of trouble that life throws up. But as we read them, we discover also the believer's response and the Lord's grace and compassion in the midst of those troubles. So here in Psalm 112, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honour. Bad news will come to God's people, to each and every one of us. I know many of you have experienced something of that. But we are the Lord's own children. He has sat us on his knee. We will never be shaken. Nothing and no one can take us from Christ or Christ from us. Listen to what Jesus says. Take delight in this now as he says to you, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Do you see how significant this is? Even if our foes should try to shake us, the bullies, the scoffers, the critics at school or work or home, if they try and shake us, we remember that in the end, we will look in triumph on them because we are in Christ and he wins. And because we are secure in Christ, we're free to be generous, to imitate his own generosity and righteousness. Generosity, not merely financial, though that's a great thing, but generous with our time, our love, our care, our kindness, our listening. His righteousness is ours as we delight in his commands. And then on that final day, now this is odd, isn't it? On that final day, their horn will be lifted high in honour. That really does sound odd, doesn't it? But in the Bible, the horn is the sign of strength and pride. Think rhinoceros or elephant. So the Lord will lift his people up. He will make us strong and honourable. Those who delight in the Lord and his commands have a glorious future. But the wicked, those who reject God's wisdom, who don't delight in his word, who do not fear him, they will see him and be vexed. They will be provoked to anger, furious that the Lord has honoured his people. And they will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. The contrast is stark, isn't it? Between those who delight in the commands of the Lord and fear him, and those who reject him, the wicked. And so we are those, aren't we, who sing in the words of our song, "Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word, I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling and I with thee one." Our Heavenly Father, we praise you and we extol you with our whole heart. May we be those who fear you and delight in your commands. And as we do that, by your Spirit, help us to imitate your generosity, your compassion and your righteousness. For to you belongs eternal praise. Alleluia. Amen.